Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanang namaskritya narancaiva narottamam devin sarasvatim vyasam tato yayan udhirajet nasta prayesu vadresu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttamai Sloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. We are reading Hare Krishna. Thank you so much for coming. It's very inspiring to see you here. We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam to the fifth canto, chapter 27. Oh, sorry, 26 is the last chapter of this canto. The title is The Hellish Planets, and text number 37. It's a prose, so I will read once, and then we can repeat word by word and translation. Evam vida naraka yamalaye santi satasa sahasrasaste su sarve shucha sarva eva dharma vartino ye kechit ihodita anuditas chavani pate paria jena vasanti tataiva dharma nuvartina itaratra ihatu punar vave Ta uvaja seshavyan nivishanti. If you can repeat after me, please. Evambida.
Evambida.
Of this sword.
Of this sword.
Naraka.
Naraka.
The many hells.
The many hells.
Yama alaye. In the province of Yamaraj. San, shanti,
shanti
are
satasaha
hundreds
sahasrasaha
thousands tesu in those hellish planets
sarvesu
all cha also sarve all eva indeed Adharma Vartina, person not following the Vedic principles or regulative principles. Yekechit, whosoever, Iha, here, Uditaha, mentioned, Anuditaha, not mentioned. Cha and Avanipate, O King, Pariyajena, according to the degree of different kind of sinful activities. Vishanti, they enter. Tata Eva, similarly. Dharma Anuvartina, those who are pious and act according the religious principles of Vedic injunctions. Itaratra, elsewhere, Iha, in this planet, to Bad, Punavave, into another birth.
Te,
all of them,
Uvaja,
Sheshaviam by the remainder of the results of piety, or vice versa. Niveshanti, they enter. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, in the province of Yamaraj, there are hundreds and thousands of hellish planets. The impious people I have mentioned, and also those I have not mentioned, must all enter these various planets according to the degree of their impiety. Those who are pious, however, enter other planetary systems, namely the planets of the demigods. Nevertheless, both the pious and impious are again brought to earth after the results of their pious or impious act are exhausted. Purpose. This corresponds to the beginning of Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, Tatadehantara Praptir. Within this material world, one is simply meant to change from one body to another in different planetary systems. Urdvan Gachanti Satwa Sta. Those in the modes of goodness are elevated to the heavenly planets. Ado Gachanti Tamasaha. Similarly, those too engrossed in ignorance enter the hellish planetary systems. Both of them, however, are subjected to the repetition of birth and death. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that even one who is very pious returns to earth after his enjoyment in the higher planetary system is over. Kshine punje martyaloka vishanti. Therefore, going from one planet to another does not solve the problems of life. The problems of life will only be solved when we no longer have to accept a material body. This can be possible if one simply becomes Krishna conscious. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Yamma karma cha me divyam evanjoveti tatata tyaktvan deham punarjanma naiti man eti sorjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities that does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attain my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the perfection of life and the real solution of the life problems. We should not be eager to go to the higher heavenly planetary systems. Not should we act in such a way that we have to go to the hellish planet. The complete purpose of this material world will be fulfilled when we resume our spiritual identity and go back home, back to Godhead. The very simple method for doing this is prescribed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarva dharman parityaman ehan saranam braja. One should be neither pious nor impious. One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. This surrendering process is also very easy. Even a child can perform it. Mang mana bhava mad vaktor mad jaji mang namaskuru. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One should become Krishna's devotee, worship him, offer an offer obeisance to him. Thus one should engage all the activities of his life in the service of Lord Krishna. Oranjana timirandasya gyanangyana salakaya chakshurulumitanjana tasmai sri gurave namaha mukam karoti vachalam fangum rangayate girin jat kripata maham vande sri guru dinacharinam brahmananda vardhanam sri chaitanya ishwaram naham vishnu padaya krishna prestaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swami iti namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunjavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpa Taruvyascha Kripa Sindhuya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vas Adi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Well, we are just at the conclusive part of this canto, and as such it's very clearly stated what is the real problem, what is happening. He said it's like always we hear about the principle that being in the heavenly planets or in the hellish planet is just passing through, the living entity going through different type of birth and death. It's a cycle that is determined by the quality of our activities, our consciousness, basically. As we were studying in this, especially the description of the universe, and how the living entities are placed in this different part of the universe, it's determined by the quality of their consciousness and what the consciousness is about. And especially in the material world, we know that the big problem or the root cause of our experience in the material world or the material life is the false identification. So everything goes based on that principle, the false identification with the body, either gross or subtle, the root cause of our conditioning. So that is nicely described also by Kapila Dev in the third canto, when he is instructing Devahuti about the Sankhya philosophy, the importance of the difference. We need to identify the difference between spirit and matter. And this, because the combination of these two elements take place in is our experience of what is we experience in this material life. But if we really understand how this take place, then we can also overcome the difficulties, even find a way to come out from this conditioning. As we said in the beginning, the real cause is that false identification with the body. The materialistic life based on I'm the body, who I am, and whatever is related to this body is mine. So that tendency, it's creating all the varieties of states of consciousness and influenced by the modes of nature. So we have all the different species of life, and also these are placed in different planets, in different systems, and based on the product of their activities. Of course, based on the consciousness and the combination of modes of nature. But it's a cycle. And it's so that we are so much bound to that, that it's difficult to come out from there. So the understanding or the knowledge, the how to come out from there is very important, because otherwise we are continuing for thousands and millions of lives in this cycle of repeat birth and death, because we are too much influenced by this false understanding who we are. So the Vahuti, it's asking to Kapiladev, said, how this can take place? Because spirit and matter, they are two different things. And actually, how they can combine? The spirit or spiritual soul has nothing to do with the material, with matter. They are different in nature, different type of Krishna's energy. So how we can explain what we are experiencing in our life? Because while we are in this body, we have different emotions. We feel we have experience of suffering or enjoyment. How that takes place is where it, that is take place in the mind, and this is the soul itself. So it's the Vahuti is with that doubt, and he's asking. Then in that way is that Kapiladev is explaining how this take place. And he said it's based of the false ego. And how this false ego is described with, in three different levels. I thought it quite interesting. I was listening to a lecture of Bhakti Vikyan Swami, who explained this point very nicely. So if you allow me, I'll share with you what I understood of that lecture. And I thought it was quite graphic, important, because that gave us the opportunity to take charge or to take the responsibility how we can come out from these clashes with this entanglement, this bonding aspect of material nature on us as a spiritual soul. So Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj explained that the false ego has three levels, that again, it's based in the explanation of Kapiladev. And he said, we have the spiritual soul identified with the body, with the activity of the body. In that sense, it takes the identification of I'm the doer, kartitvam. So, but actually, the soul, it's not doing anything. It's the body that is acting based in the influence of material nature. But we think we are the doer. So we identified with the activities of the body. That is a nice explanation. Probably you can relate, like many times I do, when we watch a movie or a theater, a performance where we see the actors doing a lot of the scene, for example, they're showing some emotions, and we are so much identified with what we are watching that we experience even, we think, we experience what the actor are doing. It's so much our identification that in psychology it's called vicarious learning. Because you, through others, you get it, and you think that it's even you. So in that way, is the soul is watching the body, and identified with the body doing things, and it experience that. So, but it's not like the soul is doing it, but by identifying with the actors, so it's experiencing, or it has the opportunity to. The capacity to experience the action of the body. So that's one level of that conditioning, the kartitvam aspect. I'm the doer, so I can do things, I'm the achiever, or I fail. So based on that aspect. The other level, a little bit more subtle, and it's hard, is the level of the identifying with the qualities, with the mind, the qualities of the mind. So when you watch a movie, you can have the opportunity, well, I like the movie and I'm observing that it's, I can decide myself not to identify with what is happening and come out from the movie and nothing much influence on us. But when you are too much engrossed identifying with what is happening in the movie, it's difficult to come out from there because you are. It's like being chained in a chair and you are forced to observe what's happening until the end. Generally, it's a horror. My Guru Maharaj said it's like a horror movie that you are experiencing everything, but actually it's just a movie, but you are forced to experience that. But it's because the identification with the experience, with the qualities of the mind, that it's a little harder to overcome. And it's Krishna explained this more in detail in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's very interesting, also the connection of the third canto and the 11th canto. When I was trying to prepare the class, I was reading some chapters, and it was quite revealing many aspects. It's when Krishna, in his conversation with Uddhava, he also explained about the conditioning, how this takes place, and the false ego. And he gives three analogies to Uddhava, how the false ego, or how the living entity is influenced by the false identification. And as we said, one is by observing a performance, and the audience take the experience what the actors are doing. And even when in the my Guru Maharaj is expert in drama theater, and he many times mentions about the performance of the actor, the quality of performance of the actor is evaluated based on how much effect can produce in the audience. So actually it's the audience who are experiencing the performance, not the actor. When we see, for example, the actors crying or being happy, but it's their acting, and they are not really crying or feeling sad. It's the audience who perceive that. It's such the intensity of the concentration, the identification of the audience, that they themselves experience those emotions. And they assess the performance of the actor based on how they are able to experience that, how much move I am with that. So in that way, if we understand how our false identification or false ego influence us by being identified with the body and the mind, especially the qualities. So Krishna gives the analogy in the text, if I'm not wrong, 53 and 55, the chapter 22, 11th canto. Three similes that Krishna explained. He says that when we, for example, are in a boat and we are in the river, we see that in the other side of the river, on the bank of the river, while we are moving, the trees are also moving. The reflection of the trees on the water is also moving. We see that. But actually, the trees are not moving. The trees are standing there. But we see that they are moving. So, but giving the quality or the to something that is actually not taking place is identifying with that quality. That's another way how falsely we identify something that is not taking place. That is one analogy of Krishna. And the second thing about the quality of the mind, identifying with the quality of mind, Krishna gives the similitude of a madman. Sorry. The rolling of the eyes. Yeah, that is the analogy. It said, when we, for example, dance, perhaps some of you expert dancers, and you are rolling, the eyes, after sometimes rolling, you stop, but the eyes are continue rolling for a moment, and you see all everything is moving. And we think that all around it's moving, but actually it's not. It's the eyes that are moving. So the property of the eyes is moving. But we give the quality of moving to other things that actually they are not. So it's in a way how Krishna explained, when we identify with the qualities of the mind, like, for example, a brahmana or a determined person and beautiful and intelligent. And so those kind of qualities that is just part of the qualities of the mind, if we identify with that, it's another level of false identification, the expression of false ego. That also condition us. And Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also gave another example that perhaps can help us to understand better this analogy that Krishna gives. He said when, for example, we see a person, a madman, that is possessed by ghosts, and he acts in a very, very crazy way. So we say, oh, this person is like that. But actually, that person, it's not like that, it's influenced by the ghost. But we are attributing that person those qualities. In the same way, when we identify with the qualities of the mind, falsely we consider what that is us, but actually it is not. As a spiritual soul, we don't have nothing to do with the mind or qualities of my mind, but we identify with that. And we act based on that, that it's so strong that we constantly, every day, every minute of our life, we act based on those qualities that we are falsely identify. But by doing that, we reinforce this conditioning, this false identification, and in that way, we will continue with this cycle of repeat birth and death because different bodies. And the other aspect of the false ego, we said it's three levels, is the bhakti tuan aspect. That Krishna gives the example of the dreams. When when a person is sleeping, while he's dreaming, he's experiencing perhaps some suffering or something is happening, somebody is killing, or perhaps some kind of enjoyment, and it's experiencing the intensity of emotions, but actually it doesn't take place because that person is just lying down on the bed. Perhaps it's a very comfortable bed and air conditioner, but in his dream, it's perhaps it's being tortured, it's a nightmare. But it's not taking place. So it's similarly, but the soul, when it's identified with what is happening with the body, the soul experiences the emotions that, for example, if it's happy or if it's suffering or the comfort, because of that identification. So three levels, identification with the activity, the capacity of agency of the body, the identification with the qualities of the mind, and the identification with the experience of the body. So three different levels of false ego that are conditioning us, making and act in a way and that is confusing our identity. And we think that we are suffering or we are happy. But it's nothing to do with the soul. By understanding this point, for example, Krishna explained, he said, you need to act as an observer what is taking place. Krishna Chaitanya Maharaj once He was explaining how this takes place when we place the soul, ourself, like an observer, observer of what is happening, observing our emotions, like a torture when he's pulling in his limbs, like protecting itself, but it's nothing is taking place actually with the turtle. Sorry, my pronunciation. But it's being observer what is actually taking place, and then if we practice in that way, so we will be able to take control of what we feel. So if we take that proactive attitude, be more taking responsibility of what is happening in our life, especially in our spiritual practice, we will have more chances to come out from this difficult, insurmountable cycle of repeat birth and death. So I thought this point is quite interesting, quite important for us to understand. And because many times we have the attitude of, oh, it's my karma, or it's my astrological chart, yeah, it's what's happening, and so, yeah, it's my conditioning, and yet it is like that. But actually, if we really understand who we are, we have the opportunity to place ourselves to above of that, and take more responsibility and act based on that. And it's not easy, definitely, because we have been influenced in this cycle of material conditioning for a thousand millions of life, and suddenly now we can try pretend in just one life, or no, easy to overcome that by our own endeavor. It's not easy. It doesn't happen overnight. So it needs practice. And Bhaktivedanta Maharaj he emphasized the importance to be more kind with ourselves. If we understand this principle, when we, for example, do not identify too much with the good aspects in our life, when, for example, some good achievements or happiness is taking place, when we not over-identify with that, gradually we will also learn not to identify ourselves when suffering or difficulties are taking place. But Krishna also, because Uddhava asked Krishna, how we can overcome this condition, and it's very difficult, Krishna. No? And Krishna said, no, you have to do it. We have to overcome that identification. But Krishna is a little bit more radical when he expressed in the 11th canto, in the text number 58 and 59, Krishna, he said that, for example, when he's about to explain the Avanti Brahmana pastime, I don't know if you heard about the Avanti Brahmana pastime, but Krishna said, I don't have the 11th canto here, but I'll try to paraphrase that. We should not be affected if somebody, for example, urinate on us, or insult us, or mistreat us. We need to raise our consciousness above those things with intelligence. And Uddhava was like a very concerned, how we can do that? It's very difficult. How can that take place? How can that can be possible? Because if somebody, for example, spit on us, it's very difficult to tolerate. I'm trying to imagine that. It was so hard to not react to that. And if somebody, for example, say some bad words to you, insult to you, we feel affected. I do many times. Or what to say, for example, it's very hard for us if we hear that somebody do it or do some no good comments about us, maybe 10 years ago or whatever. But it's also affecting us, how we can tolerate those things. We are so much influenced by those kind of external things that happen from other living entities to us. We hear as part of the Bhakta training program, three types of miseries that come to us that we have no control upon that. You remember all those very easy things? Adivautika klesha, didaivika klesha. We repeat constantly about it. Adivautika klesha, adidaivika klesha, adiadmika klesha. Even we ourselves, with self-inflicted sufferings. So because, again, this identification, false identification with the body and the mind that take place. And Krishna is so kind that he's giving us the secret to come out from there. And in the previous texts also, Prabhupada very nicely was emphasizing, presenting, okay, there is a solution for this, there is a solution for this. What is the solution? Do you remember the purport that we read? Surrender to, be engaged in devotional service. So this is the solution. And Krishna explained, just in the as a conclusion in the Bhagavad Gita, no? Surrender unto me, sarva dharma parityaja. Sorry, my brain. Sarva dharma parityaja. Just surrender unto me. Be engaged in devotional service. Those sinful activities of those good activities, so-called good activities that you perform, forget about it. I'll take care of that. Masuchaha, do not fear. I'll protect you. If you surrender unto me, become my devotee. And Prabhupada all the time is in his purpose mentioning, pointing out the importance of being engaged in devotional service as the solution for the effective solution to come out from this cycle of repeat birth and death, and the deepness, the strong grief that we have with this false identification. And nicely in this purpose as well, especially in this text, Prabhupada said the purpose of this material world is fulfilled when we reassume our spiritual identity and go back home, back to Godhead. So when we resume our identity, that is who we are. Actually, we are already free. We don't have anything to do with the material nature, with matter. But it's us who we inflict this conditioning because it's so much deep on us, because this false identification with the body, with the mind, whatever is happening around us, we take it seriously. Unfortunately, it's happening. But again, Krishna is so kind. Prabhupada said in the purpose, even a child can take advantage of this process. Be engaged or become a devotee, be engaged in devotional service. And the main, on the easy way, is by chanting the glories, the names of Krishna. And in this text, in the purpose, Prabhupada said, by just simply chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So by doing that, even conscious and unconscious, gradually we will resume, awaken our real identity. So my point basically was trying to share with you this basic understanding, this knowledge about why or what's happening with us, why we are experiencing this conditioning because of that false identification. And because of that, we are going to different planets, from the superior planetary system to the lowers, and we are experiencing just as a cycle. And we went there. So all of us, we were in the higher planetary systems with the demigods, all enjoying that. And all of us, we were also in the helic planet. So we already gone all these millions of lifetimes. It's a cycle. So it's nothing new in that way. But by understanding that, what is the key, the knowledge, the secret for that, so we can take more proactive activity, take responsibility of this, how we can come out from this conditioning. So I stop here. If any questions, any comment? Yes, Madhuji. Okay, definitely the pain exists, is there, but how we respond to that, that is different. No, we were talking in the beginning about the three types of miseries, that it's happening, it's taking place, adivautika klesha, the suffering inflicted for other living entities, adidaivika klesha, suffering inflicted by the devas, so the nature, and the suffering inflicted by adiatmika klesha, by the mind and the body itself. So that is taking place, definitely. And Krishna also explained that everybody has to pass through this experience, the suffering, even devotees. We think that the spiritual life is, okay, I surrender, I'll practice the spiritual life, so no more suffering, for example. We think like that. Sometimes we have that naive understanding that a spiritual life is everything is nice, all the problems are solved, and a lot of nice sweet prasad, and whatever it is. Isn't it? So we got that false understanding about the spirituality, especially spiritual life in Krishna consciousness. But actually, it's not like that. We are experiencing a lot of challenges and difficulties. And Krishna said, be prepared, it will happen. And especially in the life of many devotees, pure devotees and advanced devotees, we hear that they didn't get it easy. There were a lot of difficulties. And Jesus, for example, Jesus Christ, he was crucified, a lot of pain and things, and that's quite strong. And Haridas Thakur, for example, being beaten 22 marketplaces. Even Ramanujacharya and Kuresh. By Kuresh, the life of Kuresh, probably you heard, and Kuresh was, his eyes were blacked out, yeah? And he was an advanced devotee for serving his guru, and he was submitted to that such pain and such suffering. But how he reacted, it's different. We don't have control how others are acting or doing things upon us. We don't have control about it. But we do have control how we respond to that. So that's also the teachings of the Avanti Brahmana that's more described in the 11th canto. And that's the way how Krishna responds to Uddhava, because Uddhava said, how we can do overcome this kind of sufferings and not be affected, because we are interacting with the society, with people, the nature. So that's taking place. It's true, it's relative, but it's taking place. Krishna explained the pastime of Avanti Brahmana. And the conclusion of the Avanti Brahmana, for example, yes, again, paraphrasing, is that, well, I cannot blame to others what is taking place in my life, no, the suffering that is happening in my life. I cannot blame my karma to other people or the loss of nature. I cannot. The only thing I have to understand is that my suffering is because I'm identified with the mind. So before, in previous class, we were explaining the difference between pain and suffering. The pain exists, but the suffering actually is what the mind experiences with it. So if we understand that and we don't identify with that, so we can rise our consciousness to a higher level. It's not easy. Definitely, it's not easy at all. While I'm talking this myself, and come on, I don't feel authorized to talk about it, because as we were sharing, if somebody says something not so nice to me, I'm still affected for that, you know, or somebody even spit upon me. Oh, Krishna, what is it? I get affected, things like that. But if we understand that what is taking place, so we can be more active or take responsibility to change that. That is the main purpose. By understanding what is happening, this knowledge would empower us to help us to come out from this cycle. Anything else I can, any questions? It's not easy topic, sorry. I just wanted to share with you what, I thought it was quite interesting, this class. I humbly suggest you, please, if you can listen Bhaktivigyan Maharaj class about, what was the title of the class? Oh, the victim mentality. The victim mentality. Victim mentality. Because we tend to blame others, what is happening to us, and wow, others are doing me, look at me, this person did that to me, and well, yes, oh, this is my childhood, my traumas, so we tend to identify easily with those stuff. Everybody, nobody's an exception, just in case. But in many degrees, we tend to identify with that, and we suffer for that. And because of that identification, we also see others in the same way. When Krishna was mentioning about the rolling quality of the eyes, we see this world through the eyes. So because we identify with this quality of the mind, we also deal or interact with people in that way. We see the nature, what's happening outside of us, in that way too. See, it's just projecting our own conditioning. But again, we need to understand what is taking place, what is happening actually. So then, take responsibility. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I understood your question. You said that when we said that people are going upper in the planet, superior planetary system, you mean? Or?
You just said that people in the mortal goodness go upward.
Yeah.
And the mortal ignorance, they go downward.
Yeah.
And that means that they go downward in the chain of bodies, not necessarily physically downward, but downward times.
Well, yeah, but there are bodies, superior bodies. For example, to be in the heavenly planets, your body has to be better, higher. It's also, it implies that too. Yes, also because in this material planet we experience hellish condition too. Yeah, people are in a human form of body experiencing the quality of life is so difficult, so hellish. When we were talking about some documentaries sometimes when I watch, and I was, Krishna, a lot of suffering, and people are so much engrossed in that condition. That is, yeah, it can be also taking place. Is that what you're mentioning, Mataji? Not necessarily it's going geographically in a heavenly planet and hellish planets or subterranean planetary
because
systems. Yes, Vilas Swarga, yes. That answer? Yeah, and then not necessarily it has to be physical, but also this more state of consciousness. Again, the main point is that these forms of life is a combination of our false identification and the influence of three modes of material nature. That is that combination that creates this variety of forms of life and what we are experiencing too. So Krishna explains that when we think we are the doer, and who is the doer? Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the three modes of nature actually, they are doing that. Performance of what's taking place, and we are just observers. Anything else? Any comments? Thank you so much for your time and listening. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Vanchakalpataruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Jai Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Samaita Bhagavatam Indukishila Prabhupada Ki Jai.